the world. I'm John Batchelor, Bloomberg reporting out of Asia. Over 100 container ships reroute as U.S. weighs Red Sea response. Subhead oil prices rising as ships avoid the key transit route. Subhead U.S. is talking to allies about how to prevent Houthi attacks. The Houthis, they are an ideologically driven band, very well armed, extremely disciplined. They are high risk tolerance peoples. They are aligned in some fashion with Tehran. They are opposed to the Saudi regime, and they're extremely unhappy with the U.S. participating in the Saudi regime's war with the Houthis these last years. Most recently, the Houthis have demonstrated their ability to take over a ship with a spectacular raid, a Russian helicopter coming up behind a container ship that remains in possession of the Houthis, dropping off black suited combatants walking across as if they'd just come out of Marine Basic. These are not ragtag rebels from the mountains of Yemen. This is a sophisticated military outfit and has got cruise missiles, lots of them, perhaps hundreds and thousands provided by Iran. We welcome Captain Jim Fennell, U.S. Navy retired, to comment on the threat, because part of the response right now is speculation that Washington, the Navy, in conjunction with our allies, the British and the French are mentioned, is preparing a military response. Jim, a very good evening to you. This is the Indo-Pacific. This is global trade. This is supply chain and the price of oil. Therefore, it cannot be any more profound here at year's end. What military response makes sense to you? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John and Gordon. I think, that the Secretary of Defense announced this coalition of naval forces, Operation Prosperity Guardian, and that it's going to escort commercial vessels, you know, up through the Red Sea and into the Suez to ensure that there's this safety of transit. Unfortunately, as you mentioned, the sophistication of the Houthi attacks so far in the last few weeks has demonstrated to many, many major shipping companies that it's not worth it. And so they're already rerouting. They've already rerouted over 100 ships, probably much more than that by the time we finish this conversation. And so that's driven up already the price of the oil, crude oil, by 2% in just the last few, in a week or so. So it's going to have a dramatic ripple effect on the global economy, on inflation, all these things that people are not very happy about. But most importantly, escorting is the thing that obviously we have to do immediately to prevent them from attacking. But really what should be happening is this same coalition should be considering out how to find where the Houthis are coming from in Yemen or in Saudi Arabia, and they should be taking action, direct action against them. In this, we use this term, do you shoot down the arrows or do you shoot the archer? And so right now we've said we're going to shoot down all the arrows that the archer shoots at us. At some point, we need to go after the archer, which are the Houthi rebels, and take them out. It'll be much easier in terms of ensuring that we really reduce the threat to where it can resume to what it has been before these attacks started. So I think that's what needs to be done, but I'm afraid that folks in Washington and other places are very concerned about escalating this and what Iran may do. And so we're once again finding ourselves in a situation where we have foreign policy and national security issues being measured against the reaction of an adversary. Oh, will the adversary be upset? Will the adversary do something else? Well, we've allowed the adversary to inflame Gaza, Iran's proxy, Hamas, and now we have Iran's proxy inflaming the Red Sea and changing the global economy. And as Gordon and I have written in a piece this week, I mean, it's not just Iran. I mean, they're being egged on by Russia and China in this as well. So we have a great concern here to take action. And if we don't take action, this is going to cause other strategic choke points like the Panama Canal and other places to be at risk, the Strait of Malacca. So I think we need to measure twice here on this and make sure that we can do this. If I was to send Secretary of Defense Austin to the region, I wouldn't have just sent him to Israel. I would have purposely sent him to Cairo to speak with the Egyptians about what are they doing, because most of this transit of the Suez is all in their territory. And then I would have sent him to Riyadh, and I would have talked to the king in Riyadh and said, what are you doing to help exterminate these rebels that you've had problems with for decades? So we have mutual shared interests with the Egyptians, with the Saudis, with the UAE, and with other countries. OPEC itself may not want this to happen. So everybody should be aligning about getting after the Houthis and exterminating this threat and allowing a global supply chain to resume.
Gordon, you have a question for Jim.
Well, Jim, I agree with you. We not only have to go after the archer, we have to go after the party supplying the arrows and the party that is financing the supply of arrows. But just I'd like to ask a technical question. We have Arleigh Burke destroyers shooting down $5,000, $10,000 drones. Apparently, we've been using $1 million missiles to do this. What do you think, which weapons do you think the Navy is using, in fact, to take down the drones? Are those reports of using missiles accurate? And if it is, this means that we've got a serious cost imbalance in the defense of shipping in the Red Sea.
Well, we have this, what we call the Standard Missile 2, which has got about a 185 to 370 kilometer range. There's the Evolved Sea Sparrow missile. The SM-2 is 2.5 million a pop. The ESSM is about $1 million a pop. And then we have the Standard Missile 6. It's another 370 kilometer range missile, which is about 4 million. So we have several missile systems that cost, as you mentioned, in the multi-million dollar range. What we don't have is the DoD is not reporting out how they're shooting each one of these down. So these are just surmising of people like myself and others who were in uniform and it were naval officers that would suggest that in order to be able to reach out and take out a missile that's incoming, you're probably going to use something like that, because like the SM-6 and SM-2 are designed to shoot down enemy incoming missiles when some at longer ranges away from the threat. So the Kearney and these other U.S. Navy warships have this Aegis spy system that can see that the atmosphere and see what's coming from a long way away, and you want to take it out as far away as possible. So you know the trajectory of what's incoming to that commercial vessel. You will try to take it out. If something gets in closer, then they have the close-in weapons system, which is like a Gatling gun, and that's much cheaper in terms of rounds fired. They can fire up to 4,500 rounds in a minute. And those are just, you know, large rounds of, HE rounds that can take out in a wall of lead an incoming missile or a drone or something like that. So it depends on where they're striking these and getting them. But your point is really the most important point, which is to say, in the terms of correlation of forces, we're expending very high value weapon systems that are designed for a high end peer competitor fight against the Russians or against the PRC, and we're expending them against very cheap rockets or drones. Even the missiles that they're firing are probably much cheaper than the ones that we have. And the other point is, as we've seen in Ukraine, somebody's got to be counting how many of these missiles have we expended in these attacks, and when are we going to be out of missiles on board those ships? Where do they go to get resupplied or rearmed? And then what does that do to our overall inventory? And I guarantee you that there are people in Beijing that are watching this and counting the numbers of missiles that are being used, and they're understanding what this is doing to our strategic conventional stockpile in these critical surface-to-air missiles, which are so vitally important in any other scenario, like a defense of Taiwan, where you're going to have a war at sea, a naval war in the first and second island chain, or if it's some kind of fight with the Russians in the Ukraine for Ukraine in the Black Sea or the Eastern Mediterranean. So we need to. That's another reason why you want to go after the archer and extinguish the archer and his quiver of arrows, because you're going to expend a lot less weapons and basically take him out of the game. And then, as you said, we need to go after the people that are actually funding all this and producing them, and that can be done in kinetic or non-kinetic economic means and other ways. But we have to put this out, or it'll turn into a much larger fire.
James Fennell is a government fellow at the Geneva Center for Security Policy. He is also, most importantly, a retired U.S. Navy captain, served as Director of Intelligence and Information Operations, U.S. Pacific Fleet. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.